Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank each of you for tuning in with us here this morning. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. We accomplish that by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6:30, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service. At 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service, and then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7 o'clock, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in our area, we would love to have you come and join us for worship service, and let us be New Testament Christians together. In Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse number 8, we read these words. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be made known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" Jesus is the solid foundation that we build our lives upon today. As Peter so rightly said, there is no other salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is only in the name of Christ. And so this morning we're going to be looking at building our lives upon the solid foundation, which is Christ. And so why is Jesus the solid foundation that we build our life upon? I want us to see several different things that really prove that Jesus is the right foundation for us to build our lives upon. The first of these is the very words that Jesus declared. Those words that Jesus spoke declared him to be the Son of Almighty God. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, we see Jesus calling some of his first disciples to himself. And within this, we read these words. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And so the very words of Christ, by talking to Nathanael, told him that before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. And because of the words that Jesus spoke, Nathanael was able to declare, "Rabbi, you are indeed the Son of Almighty God." And so Jesus said, because of his faith, that he will see even greater signs than these. Consider another example of the words of Jesus there in John chapter 4. Just a couple of chapters over, we find Jesus visiting with a woman there at the well. And the woman was rather surprised that Jesus was speaking to her to begin with, because she was a Samaritan, and the Jews really had no dealings with Samaritans. And so Jesus responds to her. We see this in John 4 and verse 10. He says that if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And of course she responds, she says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and gave from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? Notice Jesus' answer to this. He says in verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. She's very interested in this water. She says, you know, give me this water that I may not thirst and not have to come out here and draw water ever again. Jesus responded to that. He said in verse 16, he says, go and call your husband here. And she answers, she says, I have no husband. And Jesus answered that, says that you have well said that I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you are now, you have now is not your husband, in that you have spoken truly. And so this woman was trying to hide or conceal the fact that she had had five husbands previously, and the man that she's living with is not her husband. And you'll notice that she could not hide this from Christ. Jesus said, you have spoken the truth, but not the full truth. Here's the rest of it, and Jesus filled in the rest of those blanks. And what that did was it accomplished in her mind that she perceived that he was indeed a prophet. She goes on to talk about worship. Jesus tells her that that God is spirit. He is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the woman finally says this in verse number 25. She says that I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And so Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And so what does she do? Well, she gets up, she goes back to the village, she tells all the men of the village that to come and listen to the man that has told me everything that I have ever done. And so she couldn't hide anything from Christ. Jesus spoke the words and it stimulated faith in her that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of Almighty God, the prophet who has indeed come into the world. We find that not only did the words of Christ stimulate faith with the woman at the well, but notice what it did for the men as well of the city. If you skip down to verse number 39, let's look at verses 39 through verse number 42. It says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word the woman who testified, he had told me everything that I had ever done. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so because of the words that Jesus spoke, it created faith in him. When he spoke to the woman at the well, she believed that he was the Christ, the Messiah, who had come into the world. The men of the village, as Jesus spent a couple of days with them, no doubt speaking to them, teaching them, and revealing things of God to them, they believed because of the words they themselves had heard. When we look at the words of Jesus, Jesus' words were unique, different from anyone else who spoke. In Matthew 7, verses 28 through 29, for example, as Jesus is bringing the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion, it says at the very end of this, verse 28 and verse 29 of Matthew 7, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. And so there was something unique about the way Jesus spoke. We won't take the time this morning, but if you go back and look at the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, you will notice that when Jesus spoke, he would say, you have heard it said of old this, and he'll quote from the old law. And then he says, but I say unto you this. And so Jesus is speaking, not just quoting the law, but also he's also giving his thoughts about that, and again, with authority. I say unto you, do this. And so you'll notice that's a pretty common theme throughout the book, or throughout the Sermon on the Mount, rather. And so Jesus spoke not as one of the scribes, but he spoke as one who did indeed have authority. Not only did the words of Christ testify that he was the Messiah, the Son of Almighty God, but even his deeds, the things that he did, proclaimed him to be the Son of Almighty God. Consider in Mark chapter 5 where we find Jesus coming across the man that was possessed of the demons. And we find that the demons were one, or this demon-possessed man, rather, was one that people were afraid of. They wouldn't come near him. And in Mark chapter 5, we find that Jesus is coming by this man who was demon-possessed. In verse 3, it says that this man had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And so here's a very fierce man that is possessed of demons, and no one could restrain him, no one could tame him. And yet you'll find as Jesus is walking by, what happens? In verse number 6, it says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, you do not torment me." And Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked the demon his name. And of course, he answers that he is legion, for they are many. And so one of the things that we see about this, that when this demon-possessed man, fierce in the eyes of all the people except one, and that was Christ, when he saw Jesus coming, he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him not to torment him. This right there, without Jesus uttering a word, without even really before he even cast out this demon, we find that the power of Christ, the essence of who he was, the demon recognized him and fell at his feet and spoke a tremendous testimony about who Jesus was. He was and is the Son of Almighty God. And even before casting this demon out, Jesus' power, his authority, his person, who he is, the Son of Almighty God, is evident by the way this demon-possessed man behaved. Consider yet another passage in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. We find Jesus on a boat, with his disciples. And in verse 24 it says that suddenly a great tempest arose upon the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was sleeping. Then his disciples came to him and woke him and saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And so here's another aspect of the deeds of Christ. Not only did he have a power and authority over the demons, but he had power and authority over nature. Consider this for a moment. Well, if you go back over to Genesis, chapters 1 and chapter 2, where God is speaking the world into existence with the power of his voice, God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke the world into existence. So when you fast forward and you get over to the days of Christ, Jesus being awoken up on the boat, and he stands up, he rebukes the wind, and rebukes the wind and the waves, all respond to him, and there is a great calm. And so the men marveled, they said, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Answer, he is God. Jesus is the Son of Almighty God, he is God in the flesh. And his works, his deeds, verify that. It shows the great power that God has over nature. Last one I want to consider on this about his deeds is not only the demons fearing him, not only his power over nature, but even his healings declare him to be the Son of Almighty God. In John chapter 9, for example, we find that Jesus heals a man that was blind from birth. Now, Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath day, and that catches a lot of attention. The Pharisees, they say, "Well, this man, Jesus, he can't possibly be the Son of God because he healed a man on the Sabbath. He's got to be a sinful person to do such a thing." And I like the way that the former blind man at this point answers that question. They're told in verse number 24, the Pharisees are talking to this man who is now able to see. He says, "Give God the glory. For we know that this man is a sinner." That is, that they're calling Jesus a sinful person. And the man answers and says this in verse 25, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And so this former blind man, he understands very vividly that even though he doesn't know much about Christ. He does know one thing, that he was able to restore his sight. A little bit later, he says this to the men. He asks them, why is this a marvelous thing? This is in verse 30. Why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he's opened my eyes? Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it is unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who is born blind. And then he says this, verse 33, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now, the former blind man, he didn't know much about Jesus at this point, but he knew some very significant things. He knew that if this man was not from God, if he was a sinful person, then he certainly wouldn't have been able to do what no one else in history has ever been able to do, open the eyes of a man who is born blind. And so he knew that there was something very special and very significant about Christ. Now, a little bit later, Jesus catches up with this man who can now see. And he says, do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus asks this man. And he says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, this is in verse 37, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I do believe. And he worshiped him. And so we find that it is not only the words of Christ, but also his deeds that declare Jesus to be the Son of God. This gives us our solid foundation that when we're building our lives, our hope upon Christ, we're building it in the right place. I want to consider one more before we close our lesson, and that is this. That is, the continual influence of Christ is declarative of the nature of who he is. That is, as we continue going, looking after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and we look at the deeds that have gone on after Christ. You know, when Jesus was crucified upon the cross, he was buried. The scribes, the Pharisees, they thought, we're done with Jesus. We're done with this whole preaching and teaching of Christ. How wrong they were. That preaching of Christ was just getting started. In fact, we find in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. In Acts chapter 3, we find that a lame man was healed by Peter and John there at the gate called Beautiful. This man, no doubt everyone knew who the lame man was. He was sitting there at the gate called Beautiful every time that they would go into the temple. And that he would always be asking for alms, and they knew who he was. And yet, they get to the temple one day, and he's no longer there. Where's he at? Well, he's now leaping and able to walk and leaping for joy. And they want to know, what happened to this man? What caused this? And what did Peter answer? Well, Peter said, there in Acts 3 and verse 12, he said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And so we find that while the scribes and the Pharisees and all of the religious elite, they wanted the preaching of Jesus to stop, we find it was just getting started. After Jesus raised from the dead, ascended to the Father, he gave the Spirit as he said he would, and part of that proof was here this man, lame, that everyone knew, now he's able to walk, and it was by the power of Christ that this man stands before them whole. And so when we think about the continual influence, the preaching of Jesus still goes on today because this work, as Gamaliel put it, it is not of man, but it is indeed of God. And because of that, we know that we are building our lives upon the right foundation, Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. We could look at the resurrection of Christ in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, that God declared him to be the Son of God by raising him from the dead. And so when we look at Jesus, we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of Almighty God, and our hope is found in him. Would you like to know more about God and his holy will for you? I want to invite you to log on to the website, HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. That is HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. There you'll find some information about the church, about the Bible. You'll be able to submit a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. May God bless each of you, and have a great day.